Now we're going to turn in God's Word this evening to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, to Acts chapter 12, and we're going to read just from the verse 1 of the chapter. Let us hear the Word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. Acts chapter 12, beginning our reading at the verse number 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartermans of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garments about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw in a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord have sent his angel, and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod, from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. Amen. We'll end our reading there, verse 19. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his holy and eternal word to all our hearts. Now, the verse I want us to look at this evening is verse 5 of Acts chapter 12, where it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, in our study of God's word this evening, I want us just to consider the matter of a victorious prayer. In other words, the believer obtaining blessing from the Lord in the place of prayer. Now, if a person's bank account is healthy, that person can draw money from a cash machine at any time of the night or day. And likewise, victorious praying is really God's people receiving blessing from God's bank in heaven in every time of need. And Acts chapter 12 gives us a wonderful example of victorious prayer in the life of the early New Testament church. This chapter tells of Satan's attack upon the early church. Herod had killed James with the sword. Peter was now in prison, and Herod's intention was to kill him also. And Peter, we're told, was guarded with 16 soldiers. He is to be executed the next day. And it seems as if all hope of Peter's deliverance is gone. However, the chapter tells how the believers in the early church set about his release. In doing so, they did not organize a mob to attack the prison, nor did they raise a petition or use money to bribe the guards, but rather they organized a prayer meeting. They called the church to pray for Peter's deliverance. Indeed, their prayer meeting is most fruitful, for God sends an angel to awaken Peter from a sleep. The angel tells Peter to arise. His chains fell off. He puts on his sandals, his cloak, and he walks out of the prison past the sleeping guards. And the door of the prison house is miraculously opened by God. Peter then, we're told, goes to the house of John Mark, where God's people were gathered together praying for his deliverance. He knocks the door, and a little girl called Rhoda opens. And upon hearing Peter's voice, she tells the rest in the house that it is Peter. Initially, those in the house did not believe that it was Peter, thinking that it was an angel at the door. And as Peter continues to knock the door, they open the door, and to their amazement, they see Peter free and unharmed. You see, God had answered the prayers of his people at a time of great need. Mention is made of their victorious praying in the words of our text in verse 5 of Acts chapter 12, where it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You'll notice there in verse 5 that it tells us how their prayers were directed unto God. It says, but prayer was made unto God. These people, they were not praying to an idol. They were not praying to Muhammad. They were not praying to the Virgin Mary or to some other person. Their prayer was directed towards the eternal God of heaven above. And this matter of praying unto God, it really means the believer, God's people, consciously approaching unto God, approaching into God's presence with all their heart and with all their soul. Means their heart and soul being fixed upon the Lord, conscious that they are speaking to the Lord and addressing the Lord. This was the case with the psalmist David. From Psalm 57 and the verse 7, he says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. His heart was fixed upon the Lord. And child of God, this is how you and I are to pray also. Whenever a person has an audience with Her Majesty the Queen, they talk to her, they, as it were, enter into her immediate presence and they address her. And my true prayer, yes, victorious prayer, is you and I coming as believers before God and addressing Him, speaking to Him in the place of prayer. My speaking of the preface to the Lord's Prayer, which is Our Father. Answer 100 of the shorter catechism says, the preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is Our Father, which art in heaven, teach of us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father, able and ready to help us. Child of God, this is how you and I are to direct our prayers unto God. We are to pray with a consciousness that we are before God, and before Him who is able and ready to help us. That is how Nehemiah, the reformer of old, prayed. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, he says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Again in Nehemiah 4, verse 9, it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Nehemiah was a man who knew what it was to come into God's presence and to pray unto God. And child of God, if you and I are to be victorious in prayer, then this is the example that you and I must follow also. Yes, victorious praying is praying unto God. It is us entering into His presence and directing our prayers unto Him who is the great I Am, who is the Lord God Almighty. That leads us then as Christians to ask the vital question, and the question is this: how can we be sure of directing our prayers unto God? Well, in answering that particular question, there are two things that I want us just to note as believers to encourage us in the place of prayer. First of all, we can say the believer can direct his prayer unto God through Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the verse number 5, it says there, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And these words tell how Christ is the one who mediates between us and God. Therefore, it is through the person and through the sacrifice of Christ alone that we direct our prayers unto God. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 10. And look with me, please, at verses 19 to 23 of the chapter. Look at what it says there. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness," or if you like, liberty, "to enter into the holiest," that's into God's holy presence, "by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which you have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise." That speaks of you and I drawing near to God through Christ on the grounds of his atoning blood, on the grounds of his perfect righteousness. Yes, child of God, through the merit of Christ, the merit of his perfect righteousness and his sin-cleansing blood shed at Calvary, you and I can pray unto God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 6 that we are accepted in the Beloved. Yes, through faith in God's beloved Son as our Savior, you and I, we are accepted with God. Yes, through the merits of Christ, we can come with assurance into God's presence, knowing that God receives and God accepts our prayers through Christ. This was the confidence of the hymn writer. For he said, "No works of merit now I plead, but Jesus take for all my need. No righteousness in me is found except upon redemption ground." Child of God, this is your confidence also in prayer. You are accepted with God. Your prayers are accepted with God through Christ. Yes, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we can come to God at any time of need, just through the merit of Christ. You and I as believers can pray directly to God on the grounds of Christ and his finished work, knowing that he will accept our prayers through Christ. By the Mormon or the Jehovah Witness or the Muslim or the Roman Catholic or the Unitarian or the unsaved Protestant does not have that same wonderful privilege. Yes, they may say forms of prayer in ritual fashion. They may recite the Lord's Prayer word perfectly, so to speak, yet such prayer is vain repetition. Such prayer will go no higher than the ceiling, for they are not trusting in the person and the work of Christ alone for salvation. Without Christ as Savior, such are barred from the presence of God, and their prayers will not be heard in heaven. And God warns of this in his word in Proverbs 1, verse 28, speaking of those that know not Christ as Savior. He says, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me." Again, turning your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 7. And again, Christ here warns of this very fact of vain empty repetition in prayer. By those who will not trust him as Savior. For he says to the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. If you're listening in tonight on Save, let me say there's a warning here for you in this very fact. The warning is this, that if you're still on Save, then you're afar from God. You're bound for hell. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, that you're under the sentence of divine wrath. The wrath of God is abiding upon you. And let me say this, that if you are to be at peace with God, if you're to know all your sins forgiven, be sure of heaven, and be sure that your prayers are being heard by God in heaven, then as a repentant sinner, you must come to Christ. You must trust in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. John chapter 14, verse 6, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, we see here how the believer directs his prayers unto God through Christ. But then in the second place, we can also say further that the believer can pray to God through the help of the Holy Spirit. In the little book of Jude, over near the end of the New Testament, in verse 20, it speaks there of the believer, it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And both those verses, they highlight the help of the Holy Spirit to the believer in the place of prayer. Turn with me in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and the verse number 18. Look at what it says there. It says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Him there, yes, refers to Christ. And you see there how it is through Him, but also by the Holy Spirit, that you and I have access as believers to God in the place of prayer. That word access there literally means to lead into, or if you like, to introduce to someone. And the thought here is that as believers, the Holy Spirit leads us into God's presence in the place of prayer. This was something the hymn writer realized, for he said, Holy Spirit, lead us now boldly to the throne of grace while our hearts in prayer we bow. Child of God, here you see your absolute dependence upon the Holy Ghost in the place of prayer. Yes, in His Word, God has promised to help us in prayer through the Holy Spirit. Think of the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says there, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make of intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There we're told how the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, helps us in our weakness and in our infirmity in the place of prayer. Now when the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, He will guide us to pray aright. Indeed, He will cause us to see the Lord's grace and power afresh. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, Christ there is speaking to His disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. There He speaks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the life of the believer, leading us into all truth, guiding us aright, and revealing the things of Christ afresh to our hearts and to our souls. In Revelation chapter 1, the Apostle John, we read there, was banished to the Isle of Patmos. He was now an old man. He was weak in body. It was a time of great trial for him, but in that situation, he had a glorious view of Christ, a glorious revelation of Christ that no doubt brought him great encouragement and delight to his soul. The reason for this particular encouragement was the Holy Spirit's ministry in his life. For in verse 10 of Revelation chapter 1, he says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And child of God, here you see the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in all our lives as believers. If you and I are to be victorious in the place of prayer, then daily we need to seek God for the infilling of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. Think of the words of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And the command there to us as believers is to be filled with the Spirit of God, to seek after God for that fresh and filling of the Spirit of God with power in our hearts and lives and souls. Dear child of God, whenever you find it difficult to pray, or whenever you're facing times of trial or crisis or discouragement in your life, don't give up on the place of prayer. Don't stop praying. My, the only one that wants you to stop praying is the devil. Don't leave off prayer. Don't forsake the place of prayer, but rather pray on and ask for the help and the enablement of God, the Holy Spirit, to enable you to pray on, to seek God and to call upon his name. Think of the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer says, the Holy Spirit, Lord, can bring the gifts we seek in prayer. His voice can words of comfort speak and still each wave and prayer. My, this is how the early New Testament church prayed unto God. Believer in Christ, follow their example. For through dependence upon Christ and the Holy Spirit, you too have access, yes, a glorious access to God, your heavenly Father, in the place of prayer. Our text says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for whom they prayed unto God on the grounds of Christ through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. Likewise, believer, be encouraged also to pray without ceasing, to continue in prayer. The grounds of the merits of Christ, and through the help and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in your heart and life and soul. May God bless his word tonight to every heart, and may it be an encouragement to you, dear believer in the Lord, to pray on, to seek the Lord, and to look to him for blessing in these days in which we live. Just before we close in prayer, do you remember the work here in your prayers? Pray that soon God's house will be open for the preaching of the Word of God. Do remember our missionaries in prayer. Maybe you could remember our churches, especially over in North America, Canada. Pray for God's blessing upon them at this time, that the Lord would strengthen their hand in God, and that the Lord would encourage His servants there and the congregations there, and that the Lord would meet their every need. Pray for our land also, that we might see days of revival, and that even whenever God's house is open again, there'll be a hunger, a thirst amongst the people to come and to hear the word of the Lord.